For anyone that's visiting and doesn't know me, my name's Mitchell Fair. I am one of the elders here and also am on the preaching team. So you're going to hear from me today. Get ready to use your brains because we're going to be going through a couple things that can sometimes be a little bit confusing, but it's all going to make sense in the end. You know, as I was thinking about what the Lord have me speak today, I was thinking of what I was doing last Christmas. What I was doing last Christmas was the Lord led me to look at the prophecies of Christ and read up on them and then read the fulfillments of them in the New Testament. So I was thinking, well, I'd like to look at a prophecy of Christ. And as I was going through the New Testament and the prophecies that were fulfilled, the Lord brought me to Matthew 1, verse 23. In Matthew 1, verse 23, it says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Well, I'd like to just open up in prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for your word, and I thank you for the honor it is to share up here this morning. And I just pray that you'll be calming my nerves and be speaking through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Is this working properly? Okay, it sounds kind of echoey up here to me. All right, so that prophecy in the Old Testament takes place in Isaiah 7. So we'll be spending most of our time in Isaiah 7. And I'm going to look first at Isaiah 7, verse 10 to 16. So you can follow in your Bibles with me. Isaiah 7, verse 10 to 16. Sorry. "Then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, 'Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make it deep as Sheol or high as heaven.' But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord.' Then he said, 'Listen now, O house of David. Is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men that you would try the patience of my God as well? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and will bear a son, and she should call his name Emmanuel. He will eat curds of honey at the time he knows enough to refuse good and evil. For before the boy will know enough to refuse good and evil, the land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken.'" So when I read that, I started to think to myself a couple things. Do I need to change something here? Okay. One, why is God revealing this prophecy to Ahaz? Two, why is God not pleased when Ahaz refuses to ask for a sign in order that he may not test God? Three, why does God choose to give Ahaz a sign that he'll never see? Four, who are these two kings that Ahaz dreads, and what do they have to do with the prophecy of Christ? And five, what is God trying to teach us through this? Well, let's just start at the beginning of the story. Let's go back to Isaiah 7, verse 1. "Now it came about in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzzah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Aram, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not conquer it." So there's a couple things we learn just in verse 1 here. One, we learn who Ahaz is. Who's Ahaz? Takers? He's the king of Judah. Now, can anyone tell me what Ahaz was like, what type of person he was. Not the greatest, bad. Well, if we take a look at 2 Corinthians 28, verses 1 to 4. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians 28, verses 1 to 4. We'll find out what he was like. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do right in the sight of the Lord, as David his father had done. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He also made molten images for the Baals. Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of Ben-Hammon and burned his sons in fire, according to the abominations of the nations, whom the Lord had driven out before the sons of Israel. He sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. So, why would God reveal such a marvelous prophecy to such a terrible king? Out of all the kings in Israel, stand this way. Okay. Out of all the kings in Israel, why Ahaz? Well, we'll get back to that. So keep that in the back of your brain. What else can we learn from verse 1? Look at verse 1. Is there anything else we find out there? We find out who the two kings are. The two kings are... Sorry, I messed up here. The two kings are Rezin, king of Aram, and Pekah, king of Israel. So what's the significance of that? Well, just in case you don't know what the nation of Aram is, it's also equivalent to the ancient nation of Syria. And they were also located in the same area that modern Syria is, which is north, northeast of Israel. So that's where they're located, that's where they're coming from. So now, if we continue on with the story, I'm just going to condense it for you because if we read through it, it can be kind of confusing because different words and names are used for the same places. So, carrying on from verse 2, just condensing it together from verse 2 to verse 9. Once Ahaz was told that the Arameans had camped in Ephraim, he and the people became very afraid, so much that their hearts shook like trees in the wind. Then God said to Isaiah, go meet with Ahaz, with your son Shur-Jashub. Say to him, take care and be calm. Have no fear, and do not be faint-hearted because of those two stubs of smoldering firebrands, on account of the king of Aram and the king of Israel, who have planned evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrorize it and make for ourselves a breach in its walls and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. But if you will not believe, you surely shall not last. Now here is the interesting thing. It appears that right here, God is saying, don't worry about these two kings. I'm going to take care of them. They're not going to last much longer. There's nothing but smoldering firebrands. But if we turn in our Bibles back to 2 Corinthians 28 and look at verse 5, we find out something else. We find out another piece of the puzzle. 2 Corinthians 28 verse 5 says, wherefore, the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Aram. And they defeated him and carried away from him a great number of captives and brought them to Damascus. And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who inflicted him with heavy casualties. Okay. So how does this make sense? Here he's saying, they're not going to last much longer, don't worry about them. 2 Corinthians says, God gave him over to those kings, and he was inflicted with heavy, heavy casualties. Many people were taken captive. Well, look back in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 4, and then we'll skip to the second half of verse 9. So verse 4, it says, and say to him, take care and be calm, have no fear, and do not be faint-hearted because of these two stubs of smoldering firebrands. Then go to the second half of verse 9, and he says, if you do not believe, you surely shall not last. Okay, so that seems to make a little bit of sense. So God's message to Ahaz is, put your faith in me for victory, or else you won't last. Well, let's go on reading in verse 10. We'll read from verse 10 to verse 14. It's the first part of the sign. Or no, wait, that's not the first part of the sign. Before the sign. We'll read from verse 10 to verse 13. Then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make it as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, listen now, O house of David. Is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men that you will try the patience of my God as well? You see what's happening here? God is reproving Ahaz. So that means that Ahaz is doing something wrong. Any ideas of what he might be doing wrong? Because, I mean, elsewhere in the Bible it says that you're not supposed to test God. Ahaz won't trust God. He is making it appear that he is righteous and not asking for a sign by saying, I will not test the Lord. But God knows, and the prophet Isaiah knows, that he's lying. And that what is really going on is his heart is not in the right place. And he won't believe that God will bring any sign, and that he isn't going to take care of these two kings. So God decides to give him his own sign. Now the interesting thing about this sign is that it can be read in two parts, apparently. We'll read the first part, verses 16 to 17. Starting in verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. He will eat curds of honey at the time he knows enough to refuse evil and choose good. Stop. Okay. Who is this prophecy about? It is Christmas, so yeah, it's Jesus. Okay, what was Jesus known as to the Old Testament saints? The Messiah. Okay, so the prophecies about the Messiah. What lineage did the Messiah have to come through? Through King David's line. And which lineage is King Ahaz from? King David. He's the king of Judah. Ever since David reigned, till the time that Israel started to be taken captive, his descendants reigned in Judah. So this is what God is saying to Ahaz. This is a sign that he has for him. The sign is, Ahaz, you have no worries about your line being obliterated by these two kings or by anyone else, because I made a promise to David that the Messiah has to come through you. God is so faithful to his promises that even in the midst of this wicked king that would burn his sons, he still allowed that lineage to continue to bring the Messiah into existence according to the promise that he made in the past. God is so faithful. You know, how much do we trust him? Now, the interesting part about the second part of this sign is that apparently it can be read as referring to another child, other than the child referred to in the verses prior. So the question is then, who could that be? You're right. If you look in verse 4, God told Isaiah to go and meet him, but to bring his son. So, what God is saying here is, let's just read verse 16 here. For before the boy will choose enough to refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you will dread will be forsaken. So this conversation could have gone a little something like this. Ahaz is standing there, he's holding his child. He's talking to Ahaz and he's telling him that the virgin shall be with child and his name shall be called Emmanuel, and that he will eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse evil and choose good. And he says, and this child will eat curds and honey by the time, or wait, how does it go? For before this boy will know enough to refuse good and refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken. So this part of the sign takes place during Ahaz's time. Okay. So, how does this work then? Because God's saying he's going to save Ahaz from these two kings. But in 2 Corinthians, we find out he's given him over to them. But he gives him a sign in verse 16 that he's going to take him away. I don't know, but when I first read this, I was like, okay, what's going on here? Well, I have one word for you. Assyria. The nation of Assyria. If you go and read more in 2 Corinthians 28 and 2 Kings 16, you'll find out that what happens is King Ahaz of Judah asked the Assyrians for help rather than trust in the Lord. So the Assyrians go and take out Aram and Israel while Aram and Israel were defeating Ahaz, which God used to fulfill his sign in verse 16, where he says, so Isaiah 17, verse 9, that if you will not believe, you surely will not last. Ahaz never had a time where he had victory over the kings surrounding him. So God fulfilled what he said. Then he fulfills what he said would happen to the two kings. He uses Ahaz's distrust in him, who hired the Assyrians to come and help him. And then Assyria turns against Ahaz. This is what happens. Assyria, who he asked to help him, turns against him. And now he has all the kings against him. So God fulfills what he said in verse 9. If you will not believe, you surely will not last. He fulfills what he said in verse 16, that the two kings you dread will be forsaken. And also, he fulfills what he says through the sign of the Messiah, because Ahaz never gets killed, and his family never gets wiped out through all of this. He actually remains as king of Judah, even knowing all of these kings are defeating him. So God, in his faithfulness, fulfilled each and everything he said he was going to fulfill. So then we have to ask ourselves, well, how much do we believe God and his faithfulness and the promises that he's made to us? Have we placed our faith in Christ for his salvation from hell? Do we, who have received Christ, walk day by day trusting that the life he said is in us now, God with us, Emmanuel, the power is there and available to do everything according to his will, no matter what we face? And do we believe that he's really coming back and anticipate it, as Marshall was saying earlier, that the Advent season is about anticipating Christ's return? Do we believe truly and anticipate that Christ is going to be returning? Just some food for thought. You know, another thing about this story is it's not only showing God's faithfulness, but it's also showing his discipline, because he disciplines King Ahaz. And then later on in verse 8, or in chapter 8, I'm just going to read a little bit from it. I'm going to read chapter 8, verses 9 to 10. Be broken, O peoples, and be shattered, and give ear, all remote places of the earth. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. State a proposal, but it will not stand, for God is with us. Which is the meaning of Emmanuel. See, God is so faithful to us that we can have so much hope in knowing that we are safe in his arms and that we will be received to him in heaven and spend eternity with him. But also we have to remember that if we are not faithful to God, he will discipline us, just as he is disciplining the kingdom of Israel and Judah. He will discipline us as well, because he is so faithful to us that he wants to discipline us so that we will follow him. God with us has a lot of meaning behind it. And all ties into God's faithfulness, that he is so faithful that he will discipline us as a loving father who cares for his children and wants them to do right and wants them to follow the way that leads to eternal life. So as you're going through Christmas, just remember his faithfulness, and that he is faithful to his promises, and that he will be returning, and that we need to surrender to him. As God was calling Ahaz to surrender to him, we need to surrender to him as well and not make the same mistakes that Ahaz made, the same mistakes we ourselves have made in the past. God is so faithful. And I just want to close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this prophecy, and that you brought it into completion, that God with us was born on this earth, bore our sins, and was raised from the dead, and that through faith we can have victory in him. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to mold and shape us into faithful followers of you. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Please stand with us as we close out our time of worship.
No.